Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is Dustin Vaughn Warnke, producer of this fine show that's been airing for the past 20 years. Welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoor writer for the past four decades and writes for a whole host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly outdoors column that appears in over 50 Texas newspapers, and he's lived the outdoor lifestyle since childhood. Luke partners with such companies as Pyramid Air, the ultimate source for air guns and outdoor essentials, CVA muzzleloaders, and their fine line of CVA Cascade centerfire rifles, Smokin' Tex electric smokers, ATN thermal scopes and binoculars, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge in southeast Oklahoma, owned by the Choctaw Nation, Butcher Packer Supply, everything for the home, butcher, and sausage maker, the Dallas Safari Club at biggame.org, and the Saskatchewan Department of Tourism. Now, here's Luke to kick things off with his longtime friend, Larry Weissoon.
Well, good morning, my friends. It is your old buddy, Luke Clayton, and my good friend and yours, Mr. Larry Weissoon, is with us, as he has been for the past 20 years here on Catfish Radio. So, we're going to have some fun and talk about who knows what. Larry, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Absolutely. You got me tickled, because I'll tell you what, you're right. Who knows what? You know, so very often we start thinking about, we'll visit a little bit ahead of time, going, talk about this, we can talk about that. And when it's all said and done, we never even came close to where we thought we were going to go with it. But that, to me, is a big part of the fun. It's kind of like really sitting around a campfire. There's no scripts, there's no outlines or anything, just enjoying everything that's going on around you, kind of thing. But, you know, we got to thank DSC, Conservation Education Hunter Advocacy. You and I both had an absolutely fabulous time there at the almost a month ago now.
Yes,
at
sir.
The DSC summer show, and then our expo that or the gala that night for the DSC Foundation went really well. And of course, that's the granting arm of DSC, and the, oh my gosh, we granted I think like $1.2 million last year, and I think we're going to be able to do something close to that again this year. Hornady, of course, Steve Hornady was awarded the Legacy Award by the DSC Foundation, and true to fact, accurate, deadly, dependable, and that's kind of like Steve is too, when you get right down to
yep.
Stealth Vision guys, oh my gosh, they're working on several different things, coming out with their own gun, which we'll talk about in the future here for too very long. And of course, I got some hunts coming up here very shortly with the Taurus handguns, and oh my goodness, can't wait to get out and do that. And then I'm sitting here like you are this morning with my agar coffee and getting ready for the day. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be hot, but you know, we're so close to hunting season. It's scary when you think about it.
Hey, two weeks away is the dove season. That's the opener. And I cannot wait to those good crisp mornings. And I don't know. I hate to say I live for that. I don't. I live for. We have a lot of fun. All of us do. Our listeners and all. We got a lot of things we like to do, but there is something special about that first norther blows in, and you know, around here about there's a big wetlands close to where I live, and usually by the second week in October, I'll hear those speckle bellies geese coming. Mm-hmm. They're always the first ones to come down, and then it's just game on. It's fun time from then on in. You know, sometimes I think about how blessed I really am to, if I want to go hunting, I just plan it the night before. I might hunt at night for hogs, but a quarter of a mile as the turkey flies straight away, I've got to stand with a feeder and a camera. And you know, there was a lot of times in my life when, you know, 8 to 5, I was a surveyor forever, and I know a lot of people listening can relate, but now, you know, now I can hunt and fish when I want to. So, and I know your schedule is like a, you know, it'd take an accountant to figure out all the places you're going to be and keep schedules, you know, but it's a fun life, Larry. I bet a lot of people are just like us. They can't wait till the opener of deer season to get out there and, you know, once again, get out there in the fall when things are just at the peak, you know, and have some fun, you know.
You're exactly right, and I know that there's hunting seasons going on everywhere already, way up north. Mm-hmm. Of course, the lowlands there in South Carolina, they open on August the 15th, and I've had the opportunity to hunt out there, and it'd be hotter than daylight. I mean, hotter than, I don't want to say.
Hades. But also, Hades, yeah, okay. Hades. Hotter than Hades. There you go.
We'll call it Hades. And I've been there, too. I got lucky one year, one of the first times I hunted out there. There's a hurricane off the coast, and it was relatively pleasant, and I was able to get out of there before, you know, the hurricane got there. But got, you know, things going on up north in years past about right now. I'd be headed up to some of the areas where they hunt caribou, and spent a lot of time years ago in this time of the year and through the first week of September up in Quebec and a few other places up there chasing those things. And my gosh, that was always so much fun. Most of our hunts where they just kind of dropped us off at a camp and did our own thing. And oh my gosh, thinking about all that, thinking about the mosquitoes, but it'd be so dead gum cool. Some mornings it'd be cold, and oh my goodness. You know, talking about the cold weather, hopefully this year we'll have something that comes in a little bit early. It's been so hot this summer that I've noticed that in the past when we've had these really hot summers, that generally it cools down a little bit faster come the fall. So hopefully that might be the case this year.
I hope so. I'm ready for it. I guarantee you what. So I've been on a campaign here in September, well, a few weeks from now. You and I are going to be at the Dallas Safari Club office there in Farmers Branch, my old stomping grounds where I worked as a surveyor for many years. And you're going to cook some buffalo burgers from a bison killed by Mr. Steve Hornady. You know,
yes.
I think you've got your duty. And I have been on a campaign. I've got some, I must admit, I do have some domestic pork shoulders in the freezer right now for several reasons. We could do it all wild pork, but you really need, honestly, to make it the very best flavor, you need a little more fat than these hogs around here have got. So I'm on a campaign. It's a little night hunting operation that I'm going to be doing. I don't think it's going to be a real challenge, but I'm going to knock down one or two of these little 80 to 100 pound shoats, you know, and I'll keep the prime cuts. I'll quarter it up. I usually quarter them, Larry, hair on, hide on, at night on a night hunt, and
absolutely.
You know, just it's easy to do. Just hit, you know, remove the quarters and then the back strap. Of course, remove the back strap first because you can get to it better with those legs spraddled out on the ground. I know all these hunters are saying, man, old Luke, he must have done that at some point. but you know, take your back straps first because you can lay that hog down. And anyway, so I'm going to get, I don't know, I've probably got 35 pounds of pork shoulder domestic, and I'm going to get about probably 25 pounds of wild pork. I'm going to cook it all together so it'll all baste and be moist, you know? And that's what my goal is. And when I cook it, I'm going to, you know, put quite a few finely chopped, diced jalapeno peppers and a bunch of garlic in there with the meat when I poke holes in there, you know, in the meat.
Yes.
And stick the garlic in there. And then I always cook it with add a little barbecue sauce for moisture while it's cooking. And then just take my old meat cleaver and spend a little time and chop it up. And I guess that'll be my contribution, Larry. Some good, I know it's going to be good because you can't hardly mess up pulled pork unless you dry it out, you know. And
well, that is true. That is true. But that's not going to happen with what you're doing.
No, it's not. I promise you it will not happen. So, I'll take a big old aluminum, one of these big aluminum pans, and I've got a big Smoking Tex electric smoker, the big model, you know. Push that pan up in there, you know. Might have to fold the edges so it'll fit. But I'll just load that up with a bunch of pork, you know, domestic and wild, and I'll let it smoke uncovered for maybe, I don't know, during the day, say from, I usually put it on about 3 in the afternoon, let it smoke till about 9 uncovered, turn it around, you know, flip them over a time or two, get that smoke all through it, and then I'll wrap it in foil and cut that thermostat down to about 200, let it go all night. And the next morning, there's your tender pork. Now, see, we said we never are scripted. I had no idea I was going to divulge my my pork cooking method, but that is pretty basic. But it sure is a tasty way. What I forgot to tell you, what I do also, I'll take a handful of brown sugar, by golly, and I'll sprinkle that over the top of all that while it's cooking. So there you go.
It is going to be so good. Now, this is open to members only, unfortunately, at this time, and it's going to be a limited number of people we can fit into. But for if you're not a member of DSC and you live in the area where you'd like to be part of this, you can become a member by going to biggame.org. That's biggame.org. And also, there's a phone number there on the website where you can call get on the list, and it's time to do so, because I think we're going to be limited to about 60 to 80 people that we can accommodate there in the office what we call our bigger room. It's not a great room by any means, but it's a pretty great room, but it's not a very big room.
Pretty good size. Larry, we're about out of time. We need to get Mr. Chris Webb on here in a bit and talk about crappie fishing and down at Cedar Creek Lake. But I'm not through talking about hunting. And also, can you come back, say, the end of the show, if you got time? And
absolutely.
Okay, let's do that. Folks, I want to remind everybody, this is a time to remind you, if you got a pond or a little lake or whatever on your property, Arkansas Pond Stockers, they've been around for 30 or 40 years. You can go to their website, ArkansasPondStockers.com, and they're the company that comes around to the feed stores in your area, and they're going to be making their rounds pretty quick. So check them out, and if you need some fingerlings of catfish, bass, or whatever, it's a good place to get them. Now then, we'll be right back after a little break, so make sure and hang with us. Well, friends, Mr. Larry Wysoon is going to tell you about the finest hunting optics that we have ever found.
Look, these are called Stealth Vision. They come from Crockett, Texas. Dr. John McCall developed them. They're 34-millimeter tubes as opposed to the narrower tubes, so more light transmission. They have a little green light that comes on. That scope is level because that's when you want to pull the trigger. They have an optional lighted reticle as well, too, and a whole lot of other products. And folks can learn more about them by going to stealthvision.com.